Hello, everybody.
Hey, Phil.
How are you guys?
Hello, Phil.
I hear Jim. I hear Tony. Who else?
Tammy.
Tammy and Troy?
Gary.
Hey, Gary. How are you?
Good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm great. I want to answer any questions that you guys have related to everything we've been talking about over the past few months. I think that I have figured out a lot of the puzzle. I'm making everything that we talked about work on a daily basis. I'm helping other facilities put it in play. And I want to make sure that everybody here is equipped to at least step forward and then ultimately maximize it to whatever level you want. So I'm just telling you, it's an open door, an open forum to discuss anything at all that you want today. I've had a whole lot of personal contact with clients lately, and more than I have in years. And it's because I'm taking people personally through the Reboot program. So it's nothing new to me. It's just, you know, being back on the ground and dealing with the daily experiences. You know, there are things that we neglect to realize are extremely important. For example, here's a massive mistake that trainers make. They tell somebody what to do, and they assume that the person will do it. Or maybe worse, they tell somebody what to do, and they assume that the person understands it. So there are so many people who go through programs that might have done well, but they were missing a piece. And I think one of the areas where people are far and away most confused today is carbohydrates. So here's something really interesting, and it's a statement that I learned to make because I realize so many people are blind to what I'm about to say. Cutting carbs only works to burn fat if you eat carbs. Cutting carbs only works to burn fat if you eat carbs. Now, there are exceptions. If you read the article that I wrote about keto months ago, you know, I talk about the exceptions, super high-level athletes, people who are extremely disciplined and can stay with a ketogenic diet. But for most people, cutting carbs will make them fatter because they will not sustain it, they will not maintain it, and nobody will give them a strategy to come off of that. But what's worse is if they start a new program and they haven't been eating carbohydrates and now they enter the Reboot program and they do the first 10 days without eating carbohydrates, they will not burn fat in the fat burning phase. Do you guys understand why? The reason that the fat burning phase works, the protein days and the supercompensation, is because in the first 10 days, we have stabilized blood sugar. Now, we don't want them to eat energy disruptors. We don't want them to eat sugar. We don't want them to eat alcohol. We don't want them to eat bread. We don't want them to eat pasta. But we do want them to eat sweet potato and quinoa and amaranth and maybe some oats and anything that would wild rice, basmati rice, anything that will refill glycogen stores. So for the first 10 days, they're stabilizing blood sugar, not by eliminating carbs, but by eliminating blood sugar spikes. And in every meal, they're having a protein, a slow-release natural carbohydrate, and a fibrous vegetable. So there is a slow release of sugar. The sugar gets stored as glycogen, and now they're using that glycogen as fuel. And within 10 days, they develop this habitual use of glycogen as fuel, which is fine because they have stored glycogen. They're working to provide metabolic energy. Now we go into the next phase where we eliminate the starchy carb. Now their body was used to pulling on the glycogen that was stored in muscles and the liver, but it's not there anymore because they didn't put it back. So it's the shift that drives them into a fat-burning state. Does that make sense? So I'm sharing this only as one of hundreds of examples that I'm reminded of when people hold false beliefs in their head. So, you know, when I showed up last week for the seminar that I did with the group, yeah, I go around the room, how are you doing with the nutrition? Great, great, great. I haven't eaten any carbs. So, you know, and I'm reminded, I'm going, okay, this is one of those people. And then, you know, there's another one who goes, you know, it's really not that different. I mean, I always knew what to do. I just don't do it. It's those same kind of things that reveal person's blocks and limitations. So I'm just reminded that these are things we have to do because they will separate us from other trainers. In line with that, in my Transform 2020 program, in the fat burning weeks, I speak at length about caffeine and how it can serve you as a thermogenic, as a fat burning aid. But just as I said, cutting carbs won't burn fat unless you eat carbs. Caffeine will not burn fat if you use caffeine. So a huge part of what we have to do for people is teach them this idea of cycles. Teach them this idea of circadian nutrition, that once your body adapts, we need to change something. And this is why your diet, no matter what it is, will stop working sooner or later. This is why your exercise routine will stop delivering gains at a certain point. I'm sharing this because I realize very few trainers are aware of this. Very few trainers do this. So they'll give instructions like, oh, just don't eat carbs. Carbs are bad. Don't eat carbs. So a huge part of what we have to do is really educate and empower people. So I started thinking about it. You know, how am I different than most of these other trainers, just in the way of that practice? And how am I different than myself of 15 years ago? Because a big part of what we always want to do is differentiate. And here's what I'm going to say, and I want your feedback on it, because I want to know if you agree, you feel the same way. What I do that's different than I did 15 years ago, I help people learn to do what their bodies were supposed to do if they lived in natural environments, moved as the body is supposed to, and ate as nature provided. I want to say it again. I help people learn to do what their bodies were supposed to do if they lived in natural environments, moved as the body was designed to move, and ate as nature provided. What do you think? Does that sound powerful? Does that sound different? Or does that sound like that? Look, every trainer does that.
So I don't know about anybody else, but you're cutting in.
Okay. Am I for anyone else?
Not for me.
Okay. Tony, am I cutting in and out? Tammy?
No, I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay, yeah, it might be your phone. I'll say it one more time. And if you have no thought, then just say no thought and I'll move on. I help people learn to do what their bodies were supposed to do if they lived in natural environments, moved as the body was designed, and ate as nature provided.
Like back in the caveman day?
I don't know if I want to say all the way back in the caveman day. I think it was more recent than that. But when we look at the reasons for chronic disease, give me some. What are some of the reasons for chronic disease?
Processed foods.
Processed foods. What else?
Stress. Environmental toxicity.
Yeah, toxicity.
Lack of exercise.
Lack of exercise. So in a time or in a place where people lived in a natural environment, they weren't exposed to toxins, they weren't exposed to chemicals, they got up and worked, whether it was in a field or doing something physical, they moved the body the way the body's supposed to move, and they ate the way nature provides. They had summer foods in the summer and fall foods in the fall and ate from the land. We're so far removed from that that when we look at chronic disease, that's really what it comes down to. Everything unnatural. People have just moved so far away from nature. We've even learned to extend our lives by medicating, not by improving. So in my mind, it's just a way to differentiate that I'm going to help you develop your own healing power. You have this power. Nobody's ever told you this before. Nobody's ever showed you how to release it before. You were born into a body that has the power to heal. You were born into a body that has the power to have an extraordinary metabolism. You're born into a body that can fight off pathogens and microbes and disease. But you've disconnected from your power. Because you drive everywhere. And you sit everywhere. And you eat for convenience. And your foods come in boxes. So in looking at the population now that I'm working with, that's really the differentiation. I wouldn't have thought that 15 years ago. I thought, yeah, I'd take people through workouts and help them eat better. But it's more than that. I help people do what their bodies were supposed to do in the first place. It's just their wiring got screwed up. We are restoring what was already there. Now, I still help people force out the last rep on a bench press. I still adjust their intensity on the elliptical. But that's just kind of the necessary baseline of what we're trained to do. I think what people need right now is to learn to release their own power. And I think that is the greatest thing you could do as a servant. Help people reconnect with their own power. So what is this power? Where is this power that I'm talking about? Does anybody know?
In the cell, balanced.
Yeah, in the cell and in the systems. So we can start with the stress response and parasympathetic recovery. This is the most foundational step in reversing chronic disease, is restoring balance between the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic system, and the parasympathetic system. Now, when I talk about restoring this power, it's not what doctors do and it's not what trainers do, but it's what we do. If we didn't have constant access to friends and enemies and irritants and vampires all coming through our cell phones and email, we'd probably only get stressed when there was a genuine threat. Think about it. I mean, I see it all the time. I'm with somebody, and they look at their phone, and they go, shit, and that's it. Suddenly, they're stressed. There's so much access, and people love to share their misery and drag people into it. So we have to counter that. Why do people live in chronic adrenal stress? Because the stimuli that are driving the adrenal response are coming constantly. I'm not only talking about things like cigarettes. I'm talking about emotion. And because adrenal overload is the root of most inflammation, and inflammation is the root of chronic disease, then pushing people through intense workouts is not only not enough, it's counterproductive. So the ICA that I speak to, they've worked with trainers before. That was the aha for me. I worked with a trainer before. I know what to do. He told me what to do. I just don't do it. What did he tell you to do? He told me to eat protein and salads. No, I worked with a trainer before. I really worked hard. I mean, I would do an hour in the gym every day. I know what to do. They don't know what to do. So we have to empower them to get back that innate healing power. They have lost parasympathetic recovery. I don't know how many of you guys actually measure recovery time. But what I do is after their aerobic session, I time how long it takes them to get down to 90 beats per minute. And there is almost a direct correlation with CRP. So when I have a new client and they have, you know, three or four different symptoms and they're overweight, it can take somebody over 20 minutes to get back down to 90. I'm talking about from 120 back down to 90 can take 20 minutes. They'll hover at like 106. Now, 3 weeks later, it takes them 4 minutes. But that's an indication of the parasympathetic response. So when they first came in, they had no recovery system. So if a personal trainer today is working with this population and fails to understand it, they're going to fail to get results for people, always. So I want you guys to take pride in and recognize the distinction between what you can do and what they do. And as we've spoken about many times, it's the same distinction between what doctors do and what you do. Doctors try to give them a new power with a drug. They're not restoring anything. Today I send many of my clients, I almost said most, but I'd say it's probably about half, for intravenous phospholipids, phosphatidylcholine, and glutathione. Why do I do that? Because they need detox. And nothing detoxes at the cellular level better than glutathione. So as Tasso said, it's an imbalance at the cellular level. So I want to restore parasympathetic recovery and heal the cell. These things work like magic. Not because they're magic, because we had the power all along. We just lost it. Why do they need detox? Because there are very unnatural things in their air, in their food, in their cosmetics. Now in the 21-day metabolic reboot, people get to go through two sessions of hyperbaric oxygen. Why? Because it helps them detox.
Bill.
Yeah.
Can I I have a client, a friend of mine, and she's been working in a group program for some time. Stopped. She got a divorce within the context of our friendship. And I've launched over the last 9 years. She's one of the finalists in our transformation contest. And she is put on just like a massive amount of weight. And she posted on Facebook a meme that says, I wish I could find a doctor that can help me with thyroid disease. So I immediately contacted her, and I was telling her about the day reboot. So actually, I just had to go through the process of her signing up the mention. But it's interesting to see how she changed. I never mentioned it because I'm going to, you know, what I say to her, look, wow, you put on like 60 pounds in the last year and a half or something like that. But because she opened up the window by addressing it, I was able to speak to her about it today. And she is expressing like exactly talking about. Like she's completely frustrated. She's like, I'm trying to eat more. I've been trying to eat less. I've been told ABC. And trying to eat clean and then nothing happens. And so she's been, you know, supremely frustrated. And so when I started talking to her about this, well, obviously she trusts me. She's like, at this point, I'm willing to try anything.
Okay. So what are you going to do?
Well, I told her about the 21-day reboot. So, you know, I have to speak to you about that. But we're looking to reconvene on that, too. It just makes sense that you have to do this program.
Yeah, you know, I've been running this program now for years. You know, I remember it was brand new. It's not brand new anymore. And the reason that it has longevity is because it works. I mean, really, I get astounding outcomes, always a positive outcome. And in any event, when it's slow going, I think it's on me to figure out where the person's falling short because the program works. If it's not working, it's because the person's not following it. You know, they're cutting carbs all the way through, as an example. So we have to identify that. But, yeah, the program doesn't work because I made it. I made it because it works. Like, I took all of the elements of what I learned and put them together. So I encourage all of you to put these people through the reboot. Tammy just had somebody go through it, right, Tammy? You want to share some of Kirsten's experience?
Lost 7 pounds of body fat, and she gained 1 pound of muscle.
and she's so, like, super fat that you have gained weight, like, because she is a
Tammy, hold on a second. Tony, are you unmuted still? There's a lot of noise. I don't know what phone it's coming from. Sounds like somebody's driving. I hear like a signal. But okay, go ahead, Tammy. Okay, go ahead, Tammy.
Anyways, she at first was like, I don't want to give up. I think I told you this. Hold on, my navigation's on. She didn't want to give up prayer for meditation. I said, well, it's not, you know, you don't have to give up prayer for meditation. It's really about mindfulness. So then I think that was a big part that she got out of it. She said she's a lot calmer in the evening. She has four kids, and she wants to continue on. She's like, all right, I'm ready to go into, you know, the next program. So she's ready to start whenever she can. So.
Yeah. So Tony, I mean, take her through it. If you look at the structure of the reboot and my new Transform 2020, they follow the same paradigm. First, we work to boost metabolism, stabilize and boost metabolism, and we do that while we eliminate energy disruptors. You know, that has to happen. When you have somebody who's a tough case, so Tony, like it sounds like this woman is, if she says something to you like, well, you know, I usually have two glasses of wine, but I only have one glass of wine now. You have to say you can't have any wine. And it's not because you're being mean or making a moral judgment, but understand that she has a very high level, I'm going to guess, and I'm guessing this pretty safely, of insulin resistance. Because of whatever lab showed, her doctor probably blamed the thyroid for the whole thing, but I'm sure the thyroid is only a player in a whole endocrine maladaptation. So she has insulin resistance. So it's going to take 10 days in a metabolic reboot for blood sugar to stabilize and the receptors to start to open up again. As soon as you have simple sugar within those 10 days, the receptors morph all over again. So, you know, this is where we have to be a little more firm than we would with people who didn't have a condition like this. When we talk about getting rid of energy disruptors, they really have to. And the more chronically affected they are, the more important that becomes. So, you know, if she says she's willing to do anything, then great. But you can't be kind at the expense of the results. So we start with metabolism, balancing, stabilizing, feeding, and the elimination of energy disruptors. Then, this is in both programs, the reboot and transform. Then we move into a fat loss phase. And then we move into a detox and cleansing phase. And that's the answer for almost everyone. First, rebalancing of metabolic energy. Then, carb manipulation and supercompensation. And then intermittent fasting, organic greens, anti-inflammatories, and antioxidants, and then the process begins again. It is a no-fail. It works as long as people work it. Troy, how are your people doing at this point?
Well, unfortunately, this is the first group that I've ever had who didn't have dramatic results.
So far, where are they at?
Well, we're a week away from being done.
Okay,
well,
so they're in the fat loss phase right now?
Okay, they're probably 3 to 4 days out. So they're in their fasting phase. And well, the one guy has gotten amazing results, but he's a whole different case, so you know I should talk about him. I thought maybe you were talking about him in your presentation at the beginning because he was on some kind of a meat only diet forever. Anyways, but he's done amazing with his blood sugar. Everything is working out perfect, which was his main reason, but he's gained 3 or 4 pounds. But he's not mad about that because his goal was to get the blood sugar down.
Okay. Okay.
The doctor's wife was sick throughout the entire program, you know, like a cold, with a cold type thing. So she's feeling better, but really can't make a real statement on that. Hasn't really lost any weight.
Was she doing the workouts?
Uh-huh. Every day. Yep.
And was she following the eating, do you think?
as best she could. She said she wasn't eating enough because, she just wasn't hungry because she was not well.
Okay.
But that had nothing to do with the plan. It just happened to be she got sick that week.
Yeah, so let me go back to what I just said. You know, it works for everyone. When somebody doesn't get a result, it's because of what they're doing. And that's why, you know, I always feel like I have to become a detective, because if I ask them, are you doing everything right? They go, yeah. Then, okay, what'd you have for breakfast today? I didn't have breakfast.
Right.
Okay, why? Oh, I never eat breakfast. You know, so once I start to ask questions, then some truths come out. You know, have you been doing the diaphragmatic breaths? What's that? So, usually when you start to dig, you find out. So in a case like that, if she was sick, I would have her, and I don't know if you want to train her because she's paid you, but she should go back to day one when she finishes and do it healthy and eat enough, because it's important.
That's exactly what I told her when
Good.
She first was sick. I said, you know what? Go through the process, and then we'll start over from day one when you're well. So that's exactly
Good.
What I told her.
Good. And she will get a result. I mean, if she's not eating enough, she won't get a result. Every time they don't get a result, it's because they're not doing something. And as far as the blood sugar guy, he's weighing himself?
Yes, which I told him not to do. And I yelled at him when
okay.
he was up.
And is he doing, like, protein days and super compensation days?
Yes. According to him, he did. Yes.
Okay. So if he weighs himself on a super compensation day, he will have gained 3 pounds. No question.
Absolutely. That's what I told him. I said, some people will gain up to 8 pounds.
Yeah. So that's why I beg people not to weigh themselves on the program, and especially not in that week. But if his blood sugar stabilized and his energy is good, he will be lighter at the end of the 21 days. And he's doing the intermittent fasting now?
Yes.
Yeah. He will be lighter. I wouldn't worry about the 3 pounds.
No, I'm not. I've never had anyone not get amazing results with the program, so it's just been strange that these three. And the fourth girl, Marlene, she has, I believe she's in like day two at this point.
Oh, okay.
So she got the stuff, but had to wait to actually fully start.
Okay, good. Keep me posted and let me know if you need my, you know, if ever you run into a stumbling block, just call me, because I want to make sure they all do great.
Yeah, so thank you.
Okay. So metabolic balance and then fat loss and then detox and cleansing and then metabolic balance and then fat loss and then detox and cleansing. That's the answer. Rebalance metabolic energy, manipulate carbohydrates, and then allow the gut and the cell to detox and repopulate, and then we do it again better.
I have a comment about 2020.
Okay.
Okay. I texted you before, and I said, how long should I assume that it should take to do the workout?
Mm-hmm. In the strength and growth weeks. Yeah.
I'm finding it very difficult to get it. I think, okay, I did the third one this morning, and I'm finding it difficult to get it under like an hour and 40 minutes.
Wow, okay. You're going super heavy?
Well, that's all relative, you know what I mean?
Well, you should. Tony, let me say this. When we're dealing with somebody who's not an experienced weightlifter, and not that they haven't lifted weights before, but they don't know. They never, like, try to deadlift for weight. They're not into the poundages. They can get through that workout in 50 minutes, but the reason is the first three sets are really quick. You know, they lay down, bam, 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 bam. They hit it out. They go to a modest weight, 8 reps, 6 reps. So it's really only the two sets that are time-consuming, and the reason is because of the break in between. But when somebody is more of an athlete, a strength athlete, then you're hitting it hard and you need more recovery time.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm finding. The first one, what I did was, and I realized, because it took me over 2 hours to do it, and I realized that set two and three were too heavy.
Right.
Too heavy. And so I reduced it significantly, and then I actually kept the same. And what I found that I increased the last two sets significantly down the stretch. Like, I mean, for deadlifts, I did over 300 pounds for the last two sets.
Right.
And I wasn't able to do that. in early in the week. And I said to myself, like, have I gotten stronger in the week? And I really had to test what it was. It was just too much. The volume was just too much. But even still, today was like an hour. It was like an hour and 40 because that front end, those first four are brutal. Then it starts to pick up in the last four.
Yeah.
So.
Tony, let me tell you this. When I first developed this concept, my original Transform, Strength and Growth Training, I'd be in the gym for 2 hours. But the thing was, it was only 3 days a week, right? So, but you have to realize that the audience is not all you. So that's why there's such a great variance, because when you're doing squats and deadlifts, as I said, you're working large muscle groups to a point of momentary muscle failure. You need the time to recover.
Right.
Where when you take a woman who's doing this with 20-pound dumbbells, you know, she sits down for a minute and boom, she does her next set. So that's why there's such the wide variance. But if you're putting your all into it and challenging yourself, then yeah, it's going to be long. But it's only six workouts like that. Then they get far more reasonable.
Well, yeah, I mean, I told you, that's the reason why I'm just going to the gym at 4 in the morning. So I'm going 4 in the morning, and then those days I have class at 6 o'clock. And I'm finding, like, even the last 2 days, I'm kind of, like, pushing it towards the end to get done to be ready for the 6 o'clock class.
Well, here's my promise. You'll be stronger next week. You'll see strength gains just in the 6 workouts.
Well, I remember that happened when I did Transform in 1990-something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I, because for the first time I did it, was kind of shocking all, which is why I texted you right away. I was like, am I missing something here? Because I'm like, this is taking a long time.
This is the reason that there are only 6 workouts like that in 13 weeks, you know? So if you put your power and strength, you know, mind to work, then you get totally into it, which I'm guessing you do at 4 o'clock in the morning, right? You don't have a whole lot of distractions. And you finish the workout and you feel great, but you're also able to say, I only have to do this 3 more times. So you let me know after, but I do understand it takes a long time. The stronger you are and the more you challenge yourself. You'll see, though, if down the road you take people through it who are not training as intensely as you are, they could finish the whole thing in well under an hour. Does it make sense?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And I actually, you know what, the decision I made to do it that early in the morning was the best decision I made, because I'm not that I'm dreading doing it. It's not dreading doing the work. It's the time. So to attack it first thing in the morning was, you know, it just made it, it works for me.
Good. Did you document some stuff before?
In terms of what?
I don't know, a photo, measurements, anything that you'll be able to look at the end of the program?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good. Good. Keep going with it. Keep me posted.
I may text you at 4 o'clock in the morning.
It's okay. I don't sleep with my phone. I know a lot of people do. Like, I've texted people really late, and they go, why'd you text me so late? And I go, why do you have your phone with you if you're sleeping? So you can text me anytime. You won't wake me up. So let's go back to the very foundation of business building. Tony, can you mute again? There's a 4-step process that I've been teaching for a very long time because it's what works, and it works in every single business. And it's touch, compel, capture, thrill. That's the way you build a business. Touch, compel, capture, thrill. So sometimes we become mature in our pursuits and we become experienced and we go, oh, that's basic. I don't need to do that anymore. And that's when you're stepping away from what works. So the concept of touch, compel, capture, thrill works for every, especially service business, but every business forever. It doesn't go away. So we should never stop that. And sometimes we do take things for granted. If you remember the life cycle of business, we get to aristocracy where we go, oh, well, now I'm just great because I'm great. And you really don't stay there. So touch, compel, capture, thrill is always what you want to come back to. So what I'm talking about with the programs and bringing results for this ideal client avatar relates to the thrill part. But if we don't touch, then we don't have anybody to thrill. So All of these steps become vitally important. So we should never stop the touch marketing. I'm going to share a little of what I'm doing. But I'm not asking you to imitate it or follow it. But as I said, I'll answer any questions. So if you want to talk about how you can apply something like this, let's do it. But I'll tell you what I'm doing right now. I have two marketing campaigns and another plan for July. The first marketing campaign is the Weight Loss Fix, which is the seminar that Tasso and Tammy came to. So I'm now doing that monthly. We don't announce that we're doing it monthly because we want to get a new audience every time, but every month 50 people will come to the Weight Loss Fix seminar. And the tagline we're using with it is only after you've tried everything. And it's working. It's a really good hook because it's the fix. It's not another weight loss program. It's the fix. And it's almost like we want to push people back. Like, don't come here. Go try everything else first. And it really creates a sense of magnetism. So that's a campaign that's working. The weight loss fix, only after you've tried everything. There's another marketing campaign. And this is for a different demographic. The first one, of course, is for people with weight loss resistance. The second one is for anyone looking for change. And we are targeting at this point 35 to 54 seems to be the sweet spot. Equal men and women. The message is transform everything. Transform everything. So it is so wide in general that when we get phone calls, we ask them, what are you looking to change? And they'll tell us and go, okay, great, come on in, because we'll transform all of that. We'll transform that, and we'll transform your mindset, and we'll transform your energy, everything. Everything, yep, everything. Transform everything, completely change your life. Come on in. And that, too, it becomes this irresistible hook, this magnet that draws people in. So those are the two marketing messages. I've tried many, but those are the two that are pulling extraordinarily well. I will tell you guys that I am trademarking Transform Everything. I already have it in motion because I got smart in my old age. The concept is really simple. The touch phase is just let people know that you exist. So again, I'm not asking you to do what I'm doing, but I hired a digital marketing company, a couple of guys who I know really well, and I'm also doing some door hangers and postcard mailers, so being really, really consistent and multifaceted with these two messages. The touch phase should never stop. Always let people know you exist. Now, I have a marketing budget. 8% of revenues go to marketing. So the more money we make, the more marketing we do. A lot of companies go the opposite direction. They go, uh-oh, we need business, let's market, and then they got to pull money from somewhere. So historically, I've always kept 7 or 8% of revenues as a marketing budget, and it's really healthy. When revenues are good, you can take some chances and be creative and test some things. And hopefully then revenues stay really good because your marketing is effective. So I can do direct mail and social media, but it's the ground army stuff that's the most powerful. So I went to have early dinner at a Peruvian restaurant called Arigato Ceviche. And Chuck, the manager, started talking to me. We had a conversation. He knows Bob Scheinberg, a friend of mine. He was telling me about his daughter. And so far, Chuck has sent me four families to sign up. Four. One guy sent four. Ground army stuff. This had nothing to do with social media. This had nothing to do with direct mail. This was conversation, handshake, eye contact. Wendy, a yoga instructor who teaches at a different facility than I'm involved with, sent me her most difficult client. She said, no matter what I do with her, she can't lose weight. I want her to go through your program. And she is a difficult client. But just yesterday, she said, I'm doing this, and I'm feeling great. And that was like just a breakthrough just to get that. I spoke to the people at the next table ordering salads with the dressing on the side at Bellini. That's a place I go for lunch. And both of those women are now signed up for the reboot. So I'm telling you this because the touch is in your control and in your power. And if you're not doing it, there's nobody to blame. I just find the opportunities, not because they're not there for you. I just notice them. It's my RAS. I'm tuned in. If I hear somebody ordering salad with dressing on the side, I'll ask, why do you get the dressing on the side? And suddenly we're having a conversation. Are you on a particular diet? Yeah. Oh, well, what kind of diet? Well, I just started going vegan. Really? Why? Well, because I tried the other thing and I couldn't lose weight. It's so simple to get from there to, hey, I have something for you.
So what's the transition from that conversation? I'm doing vegan, or why? Because I tried something else and I haven't lost any weight. How do you transition from there?
There's not a 100% of the time transition all the same, but what I want to get to, Tony, is the pain. That's always what I'm looking for first. So if you remember Navaka, I'm always just digging. It seems like normal conversation, but I'm asking questions. And then once I hear that there's a pre-diabetes issue, which is what came up, I said, well, it was no accident that you sat here today. I help people reverse chronic disease. And by the way, have a fix for weight loss resistance. So that's it. You know, forks went down, ears perked up.
Gotcha.
So if you know, don't think about the line, think about the concept. And what I'm trying to do is find the pain point, always. And with practice, you know, and you're good at this. I mean, you know that. So you can psych yourself out by going, oh, shit, I don't know what to say. You don't need to know what to say. You just need to kind of hit the right button. And when they tell you what the pain is, you just have to say, oh, well, that's what I do. I help people like you get rid of that.
Got it.
Now imagine if you said that. You said, oh, well, you're trying to lose 40 pounds and nothing's worked and you have prediabetes. You know what? I help people reverse that. And then you just got up and walked away. They'd go, wait, come back, right? So
yeah,
as soon as you lay that on them, now they're compelled, and that's the next step. Touch, compel, capture, thrill. But it's really hard to do until you get the pain point. So, you know, one of my greatest frustrations all the years that I've been marketing is when I'm in like a grocery store and I see an overweight person because I don't know how to approach it. It has to be the conversation. It can't be what appears obvious to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can visually see somebody and go, wow, I could really help them. But unless they tell me their pain point, I got nothing. So that's why I have to discover the pain point before I can compel. Make sense?
Completely.
I was out at dinner at the Vienna Cafe, and the people at the next table, actually two tables away, but they were talking loud, were talking about stem cell and Lyme disease. They're coming to my seminar June 20th. Now, in that case, I actually got up and walked over and introduced myself. And I said, hey, I'm just curious. I don't mean to be nosy, but are you guys in medical field or are you patients? And then we had a whole conversation. I might have told you because I think we had a call the day that I had my appointment at Bascom Palmer, the eye doctor, the eye hospital, and I heard a nurse saying she wants to lose weight, and she's now in my reboot program. She's becoming a monster of a referral source. She's sending everybody to me. I'm not telling you this for any reason other than this is what you should be doing. If there is a difference between you and me, the only difference is willingness. I really believe that I can help these people. As a matter of fact, I stand in front of them. Like, I'm not just selling them a book and running away. I have to see them, you know, so I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't really believe in it. So if you really believe that you have a superpower and the people at the next table have a need, you got to use your superpower. With great power comes great responsibility, I was told. I do have another campaign that I'm anxious to begin, but I'm going to wait until we finish with these. It's something I've done before, but I think I'm well positioned to do it differently now. And we're going to do it in July. Tasso, you might have done things like this in the past, but it is a 21-day research study. So I have a direct mail postcard ready to go, but we're not sending it out until after July 4th. And it says 50 people will participate in a 21-day weight loss study. Call. I'm going to offer them the program for free. If they buy Thrive and sign up for 2 training sessions. So I'm excited about that because I think in most cases I'll be able to upsell them because they're buying Thrive for $190, 2 training sessions for $150. I'm going to bump them up to $897, showing them all the things that they can get, including the glutathione and the intravenous. So I'm just sharing with you what's working, and you guys can pull and pick and choose whatever you want to apply to you. But do you have any questions about any of this? I mean, it all applies to you if you allow it to. You know, if you go, well, I don't have a marketing budget. Well, I don't have direct mail. Then you're missing my whole point. It's the messaging. It's the touch, compel, capture, thrill. It's the willingness. And it's the ultimate certainty that you have a program that can deliver. Nothing? Okay.
My,
go ahead.
My challenge is getting out of my own world. You know, fortunately, I've been pretty busy. And you know what I find, and I know that this is a mental roadblock, but like when I'm out doing errands, doing stuff like that, I am just still trying to get out of what I normally, you know, like trainer mode. And I'm seeing now, based on what you're telling me, I'm probably missing out on opportunities.
Everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tony, there are a couple of things that I've been on you for years to try to break past. And of course, only if you want to, but there are things that to me seem like obvious, huge steps for you. And one of them is to get trainers working for you. And I do know, you know, you can kind of go cynical on that, but man, that would free you up so much to make so much more money and have the freedom to do things like this. You're a celebrity, you know, so you out and about is a power. So you staying in your facility, seeing the same people all the time, doing the same thing you always do, yeah, it's limiting. And then when you get out, you're in a rush, you got to do something, you got to get back. But if you actually have that freedom.
No doubt. I mean, one of the best things that I do is public speaking. And,
no.
You know, and the thing is, if I'm in front of an audience, it's a very different, I guess, especially like when you speak. I remember when I went down to when you were at Don Shula's place.
Mm-hmm.
This had to be 99, 98, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting down in the audience, and I don't know, you had 400 or 500 people there or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, back when you had the radio show, and I remember how you probably had a bunch of people that were there that maybe had heard you over the radio and came because obviously they wanted to get something for themselves. But I think what was really captivating for them was that they weren't expecting you to be as good a speaker as you are.
and they would have heard you on the radio, so they weren't thinking, I'm going to see a dumb trainer, but they were captivated by the experience. And I find that there's a lot of power in that.
Yeah. I mean, some of it is innate, but much of it is developed. A lot of it, that is intentional. I mean, you know, I try to make every talk that I do fun, participatory. I want them on their feet. I don't want them thinking where they want to think. I want to control at least the path of the thoughts that they're having. So ultimately, it's going to lead them to make the right decision. So, yeah, a lot of that is calculated. Thank you for pointing it out. But, yeah, Tony, your Monday motivations are great. I mean, you can do this. So if you had the freedom, you can do a seminar every month in your studio or in a conference room, fill it up with new people, and keep getting new clients. But what limits you is you don't have trainers to take the workload. You don't have a spillover.
I mean, I have my spillovers week. I do have one, but it's weak.
I have three new trainers starting on June 3rd. I need it. Because I'm not taking on all these training sessions myself. I mean, that would make me a prisoner.
But does – okay, and again, this is me putting my fear on you, but I'm going to phrase it in the question. Does that scare the crap out of you?
Hiring three trainers?
Yes.
No. But I'll tell you how I did it and how I do it. I think we tried this in Battle Creek, but Battle Creek is very different than South Florida, we've come to learn. But – I run a very, very, very long ad, like a ridiculously long ad. And in the ad, I say things like, if you're lazy, stop reading. You know, if there isn't anyone I can call for a good reference, stop here. You know, if you're not truly passionate about what you do, go apply somewhere else. Like, I'm really kind of blatant. And then if they continue all the way to the end, in the very last line, I say, do not send a resume. If you send a resume, I will delete it. Instead, send a paragraph telling me why this ad appealed to you. And I would say out of 250 responses, 220 had resumes. So what that says to me is they don't even read the fucking ad. You know what I mean? Like, right. I should have said in the first line, if you want a job, here's a clue. Read the ad. But the fact that they all send resumes means they never read the ad. So I eliminate those right out of the bat. And then I speak to them, and those who sound good, I set up 15-minute interviews. So it's like machine gun fire. There's a, you know, 2 o'clock, 2:15, 2:30. But I want it that way. I hate it. I hate interviewing. So I don't want to subject myself to, like, interviews over the course of a few days. I'd rather just deal with it. And out of the, I think, 12 people, three were really good. And those are the three that I'm hiring. So, and when they start with me, they go through 20 hours of trainer training before they can even start working with a client. So, no, I don't have fear because I've developed that system. The reason I developed that system over the years is because I made so many mistakes that I should have had more fear that I've learned.
So where are the training sessions going to be taking place?
Well, I have one facility up in Palm Beach Gardens where we just took 400 square feet and converted it into a fitness center. It's a rehab center and a functional medicine place. And now we have a fitness center in there. And then I have the place that Tasso and Tammy came to, which is a very high-end kind of futuristic gym where we have biohacking stuff like cryotherapy and infrared saunas and things like that.
Uh-huh.
That's where the bulk of it takes place. And then I have a couple of trainers who go to people's homes.
Okay.
I have a third location in Boca, but there's not an actual fitness center there. So in there, they meet the trainer just for consultations.
Right. Well, you get my apprehension because, again, I'm thinking it, when you have these places, they are somewhat monitored by some human resource that you have access to. Because
what do you mean?
Because, in other words, if you say you have a place there, then there's some staff that's there. So when you send the trainer there, you're sending them to a facility, correct?
Yeah.
that's already established. Because my big apprehension is that, you know, if I'm going to hire someone, I'm giving them the cake. You know
what I mean? Of course.
Yeah. And that's I've been very fortunate because I get, like I said, the two people that have worked for me, I have zero reservation. I have cameras in the place too. But, like, you know, to get that new person and take them through that whole process and then give them the key and say, okay, here's the trainer, and I'm still not there yet.
All right. So let me just give you some perspective. Tony cannot do a seminar every month for 50 people because he's not finding 50 people. Tony's not finding 50 people because he's trapped inside his studio working with the people he already has. So that becomes the ball and chain, right? I mean, that sounds very rational. You cannot get 50 people if you're not going out and meeting them. And if you can't get 50 people, clearly you can't do a seminar for 50 new people every month. So what will change? And I think the only thing that you need to do is lighten your client load by bringing in some help. And in the short term, what you end up doing is sharing a piece of your revenue because you have to pay them. But in the long term, you triple your client base.
I get it. Look, intellectually, I get it. Emotionally, I ain't there yet.
Okay. Okay, fear is really powerful in holding people back. The EEM is really, really strong. And I'm saying that honestly. But when you identify it as just fear, then you take steps to overcome it.
Right. And I recognize it as fear, but, you know, I'm going to always be very, very upfront and straightforward and honest. And
of course.
I'm not there yet.
Okay. Anyone else? Any thoughts on that for Tony or any thoughts on anything I discussed? Any questions on making this happen? Because everything ties into connecting with doctors. That's what all of this, that's where all of this comes from. I'm getting labs. I'm doing IVs. It's all through the connection with the doctor that makes it so far above what anyone else is doing. I'm curious, Troy, Tammy, Tasso, Gary, are you guys, Jim, are you guys hearing this and you're going, I'm not there yet, just like Tony said? Or are you kind of listening going, yeah, I could do this? Or is there just an element of that's way over my head right now?
I feel like I could do it. I just don't have the physician that I could do it with.
Yet.
I don't have that connection yet.
Right. Okay.
That's all.
Okay,
I think
good.
I have to learn some things, but I know that what we do and the strategy that you're using works. So, you know, I've done it already. So I know it could definitely be done.
Yeah. So Gary, you got to kind of get like single-minded in that regard, and just you got to find that doctor. And I don't mean obsess over it, but I mean just kind of create the intention. You know, one way or another, you just got to find a doctor who will welcome you bringing his patients' outcomes for more money. That's, you know, if you have the right conversation with the right person, he'll say yes. You know, I have doctors in a separate office that, because I now have a facility in Palm Beach Gardens, I told these guys, I go, I can't really work with you anymore because there's a conflict. And they go, well, can you just see our patients? And I said, what do you mean? They go, like, if we have patients, can't we just have you come in and do consultations? Like, you don't have to sell them on your program or anything if you feel it's competitive. But, and the reason they're doing that, because they make $75 every time we do a consultation. So, you know, I get paid $150, I get half of it, and then they buy my program. So it's just been really lucrative. So not only, you know, did I tell you doctors want to do this, they don't want to lose it. So if I'm seeing 10 patients a week, that's $3,000 a month for them. So they don't want to lose that. All of a sudden they go, wait a minute. You can't go somewhere else. So that's why I'm saying when you get the right doctor, he'll embrace this fully. You just have to find him or her.
The thing that I think I would like to see, I'd like to see how the setup for all this, like how you you know, how you guys are doing it. You know, because, you know, I haven't really been focusing on that yet because I was trying to get through other things, you know, in my brain about the whole thing. And I'm getting closer to feeling like I can do this.
Good.
You know. Well, I know I can do it. I just, it's to be honest with you, it's the interaction with the doctor. That part of it is uncomfortable for me because I've never done it before, really.
Right.
You know, the doctors that I do know are not affiliated with their own, they're affiliated with hospitals. So
right.
They can't do it. So, yeah, different avenue there.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me like at least mindset-wise you're making progress, and that's great. Tammy, you wanted to ask something or share something?
No, I'm ready. And I forgot to tell you that Kristen had got me a massage for my birthday to this lady, Henrietta, and so I went to her yesterday, and she's like, whatever you did with her neuroplasticity is amazing. Like, her body's totally different. She's like, can you bring me some cards? And I have some people I want to refer to you, and how busy do you want to be? I'm like, I want to be really busy. So
good.
I'm going to get cards when I get back to my trip.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. That's what will happen for all of you, honestly. You just, you know, believe in it and pursue it, and this is the way it goes. Touch, compel, capture, thrill.
Hey, Phil, I want to be clear. I'm good with the doctor. It's the trainer working for me that I have a challenge with.
Oh, I know.
As far as the doctor stuff, I'm very much on board with that. I'm very comfortable with that.
Do you have a potential relationship with that one doctor who was doing Thrive and that didn't work out, or is that no?
Yeah, I do. For
okay.
Sure. She's a little skitter scatter. It seems like, and even like the other doctor friend that I have, who's a great friend, same thing. You know, it's really interesting because I have a few doctor, you know, clients, past clients, friends, and it's interesting because we give doctors such accolades for having everything together, and like some of these people are skitter scatter people you've ever met.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God.
It's a mess.
Tony, if you knew how many times the doctor loses somebody's labs, I'm not kidding. Like I go, are you kidding me? But it's ridiculous how disorganized they are, personally and professionally. Absolutely true. Yeah, it just happened. I have a woman who called me, and she goes, when are we doing the lab review? I said, oh, you should have gotten the labs from the doctor. And she goes, I didn't. And I called him, and I said, where are Tina's labs? And he goes, didn't she get them? I go, no, the only way she'd get them is if you sent them to her. Did you send them to her? No, I don't know where they are. And it's like, let me call the lab. And it's all the time. Honestly, it's amazing. I'm continually shocked by how disorganized they are. And what most of them do is yell at their staff for their own disorganization. I've witnessed that many times. Yeah, I'm actually I'm reading a book. You know, some of you know my dad has cognition degeneration. It's certainly not Alzheimer's because he's been tested so many times, but he's losing it. And somebody recommended a book called The End of Alzheimer's. And I'm reading the book just a little while ago, and I'm just going to turn to a page here. So, one, prevent and reduce inflammation. Two, eliminate toxins. Three, optimize hormones. So it's everything that we're doing. I mean, it's not what doctors do typically. But here's a book that's held up as the end of Alzheimer's, and the truth is, it's what we do. So I want you guys to realize how far ahead of the curve you really are and how much you can do, especially with this ICA of people with chronic disease. And I have to always reinforce, not sick people, but the people who have been diagnosed with something. I will still speak at times with personal trainers who want to open their own studio. And a long time ago, I used to do consulting with them, but I don't anymore. I just have no interest or desire in doing that, but I certainly try to give them good advice. And there are far greater options or variety of options today than years ago, because years ago you needed to find a space and buy equipment and have some kind of setup and put in a floor and put in mirrors. And now they can create like a CrossFit knockoff for $2,500 a month. They can quickly get 20 people to pay $150. So it's not that hard anymore. But when I do meet trainers who really want to open a studio, they'll ask me questions and I'll tell them how I did it. And granted, it was a year ago. But when I opened my first studio, I didn't have a reference. There weren't like other personal training studios that I could look at. So I built it just on my need and what I could afford. So I'd never really even seen a personal training studio before. So I created it and I set it up for groups so I can do orientations, because that was my funnel at that time. So my first training studio had an area where people would sit and had a big whiteboard. And, you know, I would do a presentation and I had a little table set up with all my props. And then we had the equipment. And it was basic, but there was enough of it to take anybody through my Transform program at the time. I did that on the second floor of an office building. So not only was there no visibility of the building from the street, my office had no visibility unless you came up to the second floor. So that's how far removed I was from, you know, doing things the way the books actually say to do it. But, man, I had people coming in because I touched, compel, capture, thrill. Every orientation, we had 8 people. Then it went up to 12 people. Everyone sold out. They'd all convert to training clients. That allowed me to build a team of trainers. And out of that little studio, my office was around the corner on the second floor, and out of that little studio, we were throwing off $7,500 a week in training revenues. And a portion of that money, of course, went to payroll to pay the trainers, but another portion of it went to open my next studio, which was a little more street-friendly. So when I tell trainers that you just need to start out by having a place where you can start to attract people and generate the money and then save money, then you can move into a better space, because they look at it and they go, well, I want to open a place like that. And do you have a financial resource? No, that's the problem. Okay, then don't open a place like that today. Open that place 3 years from now. And rarely do they like that idea. So the question that they keep coming back to is, but where'd you get the money? No matter how many different times I explain it, you know, earned it. We generated business. We got the money. But where'd you get the money to open your place? So I want to ask you guys, I'm just curious. Tony, if you don't mind sharing, and you could say it's none of your business, where'd you get the money to open your studio? Are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Where can I ask?
Short answer, worked my ass off. Basically, I'm going to make it quick. When boot camps are really popular, and I remember I met someone at one of the programs he had in Fort Lauderdale, and these people were training on the beach right by the, you know, marina, and I was asking them about it, and then it became popular, and then I know Kelly was doing it, and John Spencer Ellis was doing it, and I said, I want to do it. And that allowed me to, and I was like, how the hell do you do this thing? How do you do the group?
Did you get an adventure boot camp license, or you did it yourself?
I did it myself.
Okay.
I saw no value in doing it with them.
Right.
So I started doing groups. So the group started growing, and I was doing them out on the beach on the boardwalk. And I had a guy who I had trained his son, and he had a space. And so as the group started growing and developing, I was training out of the gym I had been working out, running my business out of for years. And the groups were growing and growing and growing. And the summer was coming to an end. And I said, I need to continue this. This is something that's really working for me. I contacted the guy, said, the space you were talking to me about, is it still available? And he said, yes. So I asked what the rent was. And he was like, you know, give me $500 a month.
Wow.
So, exactly. So
is that where you are today?
No.
Okay.
It was a sub-level. It was a sub-level, but it was off a major road. And then he basically gave – there was no heat.
There was just basically lights, a little bit of electricity, no windows, but it was $500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd already started building everything, so everything was working out. So again, as the groups were growing, and what happened was that same January, I moved in October. The same January, the gym that I had been working out of for like 8, 9, 10 years totally shut down. So I got there in the nick of time.
Was it without warning, like one of those gym stories where they just stopped opening the door?
I showed up the first Monday of January that year, and the gate was locked, and I was calling the guy who opened it up, and he was like,
it's a familiar story.
Yeah. Not answering his phone.
Right.
So basically, it was a wrap. So I was there for a few years. You can just imagine. It wasn't the best of circumstances, but I was able to basically run my business. At one point in time, I was running it for zero. I was doing it on the beach for zero. But now, mm-hmm. then it was like 500. It was, $500 a month. And,
how'd you afford the equipment? How'd you get the equipment?
Just one step at a time.
Okay.
I didn't finance anything. It was just one step at a time. I bought a leg press machine, and I started buying kettlebells, and then
right. So you bought a leg press machine for what, like $800? Or you got like something used for a deal?
It was a leg extension machine, and then okay. I just perused over Craigslist, and anytime I got anything that I wanted, and then I basically I paid cash. I was building it after time. Then I was under a dry cleaner. The dry cleaner was negotiating their lease, and they used me as a linchpin for their lease. They're like, "Well, we want him out." And so the guy, we had developed a great relationship. Then I had to find a commercial space, and that's when I was working with you. You probably don't remember, but I was kind of under duress, and there was a space that was between where that location was and the beach where I was running my boot camps. And it was for lease. And basically, I established a relationship, and I ended up getting a 5-year lease with no credit check.
For how much?
The initial lease, but it was a 3% growth, and then CAM had started. But my lease my initial lease was, I think, $1,300 a month.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, that's the way we do things. When we don't have a trust fund, right? So it's just interesting to me how many trainers just can't accept this idea. And I don't know if it's a millennial thing or a trainer thing, I don't know. But they can't accept the idea of settling for less than your ideal and generating the money to grow. And really, that's the best advice I have for them. I've seen so many deals go bad where an affluent client finances a gym for a trainer. It's sure to fail because the investor believes the trainer has business expertise, and only when it opens do they find out nobody's coming, and then the trainer gets upset. They go, "He's pressuring me," and meanwhile the guy just took out a $250,000 loan. So I think the way you did it, Tony, is the way to do it. You do your business, you generate money, you reinvest your money, you move up into a better space. So I'm sharing that because for you guys now, if you can't yet kind of see the way to be working alongside a doctor or with a doctor's office, you got to start to create it in your head first because it's the same thing. Just like the trainers right now can't fathom creating a gym if they don't have money in the bank, I'm saying to you, if you say, like, "I don't know a doctor right now," that shouldn't prevent you. You just got to really lock in on the belief because this is the brightest future that you could have. The money is incredible, honestly. The revenue potential is amazing. The market is willing to pay. The doctor connection gives you credibility. The ability to do things like get labs and IVs makes you far above any other trainer. And, 10 years from now, this will be common, but right now it isn't. So every one of you can be the number one guy in your area by forming this. So it starts by just knowing in your head that you can do it. My suggestion is everybody break your energies into the four steps. Touch, compel, capture, thrill. The touch part, work on it. Role play, practice. What are you going to say? Strike up conversations. Even when it's not important, just develop the knack for doing it. There are great lines that I didn't formulate. They just, I've said them so often that I find that they work. They just, they're magnetic. So when I say to somebody, your body has an innate ability to heal and release fat. I just have to show you how to release it. I've said it so many times. I never formulated the line, but it's the practice that makes it really comfortable. You know, a million times I've said to people, you're not a victim of your metabolism, you're the creator. It's just nobody ever showed you how. Those lines are so powerful because they change mindset. If somebody goes, oh, I just have a slow metabolism, I go, oh, no, no, you're not a victim of your metabolism, you're the creator. Nobody ever showed you how to create it. Huh? When people tell me that they are diabetic, I say we have to begin by getting rid of that label. And they go, what do you mean? And then I say, are you a cold? Which you've heard me use that line before, but that's what I do. You go, well, I'm a diabetic. Okay, well, you got to get rid of that label. Huh? Are you a cold? Am I what? Are you a cold? Am I cold? No, are you a cold? No, I'm not a cold. Did you ever have a runny nose and a scratchy throat? Yeah. And what would you tell people? That I have a cold. I go, ah, so you knew the cold was temporary. Let's make the diabetes temporary. How about you no longer wear the label? So these are things that just came out of doing it again and again and again and again. And, you know, Tony, you asked me earlier, like, how do you make the transition? And there's a line that I learned to use, you know, years and years ago doing the Vaca in health club membership selling. And it's, is there anything preventing you? And it's a real easy question. So depends what it is that you want them to do. But is there anything preventing you from coming to my orientation class next Thursday at 8 p.m.? No. Okay, let's get you signed up. It's $20 with a money-back guarantee. So as soon as they say there's nothing preventing, it's so easy to slide into the ask. Is there anything preventing you from coming in for consultation? No. So it's a beautiful way to take that touch, compel, and turn it into a capture. So if you take all of the things that I shared on today's call, what you're going to walk away with is, I've got to get better at touch, compel, capture, thrill, and I've got to step into this realm full-blown with a doctor, taking people through the reboot and similar programs and getting them amazing results, because that's the thrill. Touch, compel, capture, thrill. Any thoughts, comments, questions on anything at all? Jim, are you still here? I think Jim said he had to go. Is there a Jim? Tasso, are you here?
I'm here.
You were quiet today.
I am. I have much to think about, much thoughts on my mind.
Related to this or related to life?
Absolutely.
Outside of Be Better? Or related to this?
To this and to Be Better. I mean, to Be Better is you know, so I keep trying to, how come I, what's the word? Almost sabotage myself in launching and pushing. You know, I get people to the edge, and then I can't seem to finish it and bring it home, those 5 or 10 people, to run it and get it, do it, and actually do it with them. And, you know, a lot of thoughts going on in the last couple of days of why that is, you know, because I really see a vision that when you come to this club, that there's no reason why you shouldn't have a Be Better program that's basically $4.99 for your first month here. That is the 21-day program and 4 personal training sessions to start your membership.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like enrollment package. That say, hey, this is a $1,200 package. If you join today, it's $499. You know.
So what's the limitation?
That, huh?
What is holding you back from that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think, you know what, I think Phil. Boy, this is going to start a long conversation. But I really think a lot of it is that I fear the perception in the presentation of the 21-day reboot webinars that there is a negative connotation to the machines, which a lot of our business has been based on. So there's that fear of getting over that we will compliment with these things once we get them to the point. And I think that's just, you know, I sit there looking at the staff. I have to keep you know, engaged. And so I look at it from that standpoint. I go like, okay, how do I get through this? How do I go through and explain this, you know, as we've talked about before? Because so much of our business has been based on the knowledge principles and the machine-based movements. And I understand and recognize the bio movements. I understand how it all works in. I understand the difference. It's just like, how do I keep the credibility of the body's brand, for lack of a better term, maybe put oversimplified, but maybe just what I'm thinking. I don't know. That's the best answer I can give you at this point, because that's the one I've sort of dialed in and tried to focus myself through.
All right. So what was his name? Casey, was it Viator?
Yeah.
If he walks into your gym, he can get right on those Nautilus machines. I'm going way back in the day when you first got them, right?
Yeah.
If Mike Mentzer came into your gym, he could jump right on those Nautilus machines and get a great workout.
If any of those two guys walk into my gym, I'm running out the back door because they're fucking dead.
Yeah. That would be really creepy if they walked in. It's the beginning of the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, those are the guys who inspired Nautilus to find its footing as a legitimate way of training. And with a little history, prior to that, you had the Universal machines, which was in every high school gym, right? So that's where many people got their introduction to weight training. If somebody comes in and they're in really good athletic shape, then you can challenge them appropriately with those machines and get them a great result. If somebody comes in and they have weight loss resistance or type 2 diabetes or hypothyroidism or Graves' disease or Hashimoto's or whatever label they got, then you should look at it like the first month, we're going to get your body working right. We're going to prepare your body so you restore. You restore posture. You restore balance. You restore biomechanical movement. You restore parasympathetic recovery. And then you'll be able to maximally benefit from everything we have here. So don't think of it as an indictment of the machines, but if you really teach them, you know, you haven't moved your body through space in years. You sit in a chair every day at a desk. So we've got to get you doing some movement. That's why we're doing the functional six. But when you finish this program, then you're going to be able to utilize these machines and really get a result. So it's all in the way you package it. It's not putting down the machines. It's just explaining why so many people are so limited. And what I find, in fact, after I run my 21-day research study promotion, the next one is RIP Health Club. And I got a video guy who's so psyched to make it, but we're going to do a whole, like a funeral for the health club, saying the health club is dead. Because the market I'm going after with that one are the 40-something guys who come into the gym and they have their elbows wrapped up or their knee wrapped up or they're putting some kind of smelly stuff or peppermint oil on their shoulder. And they keep coming back and doing the same thing. So I want to say to that audience, it's not that the machines are bad. It's just that you've relied so heavily on them, you've allowed them to beat you up. So let's get you doing bio movements. Let's get your body moving through space. Let's correct. And then you could go back and do all that stuff. But you got to heal. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. But I want to tell you that neither one of those markets you just described are my market. The avatar that we've described for the Be Better program, from the Be Better program, is exactly my avatar. And the principles by what we teach, when I combine them with what I've learned from you, makes my program more effective, because I don't want that experienced exercise. I want that person that needs to be taught, needs to be brought along, and needs to learn at their first workout how to do these five core machines. We're not going to do the old Nautilus of doing all these 12 machines and all that bullshit. It's in and out of our door in 30 minutes, you know.
Okay.
And so our avatar is the exact same avatar, and the principles, when I can get them to train at intensity, like, then they are going to benefit a great deal more, and the time element is not going to be a problem. So when I take what I've learned from you, Phil, they come into my facility, and after I do the intake with them, the first session is teaching them how to breathe, teaching them the poses, and doing five basic exercises with them on the machines.
Okay.
And then sending them home with doing the breathing, the lymphatic
twists
every day, and coming in here and doing the burst training on the bike, on the SideFit bike.
Okay.
So that engages them and gets them going with us, and it's comfortable for them because we can teach them intensity through the bike, and we don't have to beat them up on the machines because by virtue of – now what I need to deliver is I need the 21-day reboot as you educate them. I need that to educate their eating because that's where we're falling down. See, I need to be able to sign them up and say, look, here's your code. You're going to receive an email from Phil Kaplan. Go in. Phil's going to take you through the 21-day reboot. I'm going to walk you through the whole thing. And then when they come back and go, well, wait a minute, sort of like he's sort of down on machines. No, he's not down on machines. Now I have to have the opportunity to explain
Tom, so
that.
You're hearing it that way. Like, find me a place where I say machines are bad or I'm down on machines.
You say that, Phil, but when you say you go into a regular health club, And here's the basic movements you do, and what they don't do is they don't take you through these bio movements.
Right.
That is not a statement of saying, hey, machines suck. That is saying that, hey, listen, those aren't as good as what we're doing in this program.
No. What it's saying is we're talking about a very specific issue. We're talking about a specific challenge that the people in the room have. So what I want to make clear is that the things they've tried in the past haven't worked. So here's why the doctor thing didn't work, because the doctor just put you on medicine. Here's why the health club thing didn't work, because all they did was put you on machines. That doesn't mean the machines were bad. It just means that wasn't the strategy that's going to work. The strategy that works is the synergy and the six-point secret. And, you know, biomovements and all-out bursts are really the exercise component that makes the program so effective from the exercise part. So it's never saying machines are bad, but you know I don't want to argue it. I'm just saying
I don't need that. I mean, that's why I don't know how to craft my words to tell you. And I readily admitted at the outset, I think these are my fears. You know, your own perception is your own reality, right? And so I have to get by that. And that's where you say I've been quiet. I have so much that I've written in my journals about how do we get over this hump. Listen, Troy has gotten over the hump because Troy is cut from the same cloth that I am in regards to training. He's obviously being successful and obviously doing well with this, and he has been able to get to the mental block of that. You know, I don't know if it's the fear of the revenue. I don't know what it is. I really don't, Phil. I mean, I'd love to sit down at, like, that place we went to go eat that night afterwards and just hash it out with you, because I think you're masterful at saying, okay, here's your fear. This is how you get through it, you know. Because I see greater potential in making money. And then the other challenge I have, Phil, quite honestly, is to get my staff, my team, up to snuff with the whole concept that they can oversee these programs for me.
You question if they're good enough?
No, I question the education to them. And I'm being very frank and honest. Out of my 12, I think I got two or three that would sit down and listen to all the webinars and stuff and go through it with that kind of detail.
Right.
You know, they're younger, and I probably got four that'll do it. And that's the four I'm targeting to do that with, you know.
Okay. Well, we'll talk separately. If you want to figure it out and overcome it, then I'll help you with it. And if you decide you don't, I don't want to make you feel pressured. So, you know, it's your call, but I'm here to discuss it with you however you want. You know, if you want to take another trip down here one day and see the new trainers I hired and see the way I break them in and see the way they take people through the program, because ultimately they're going to be using some heavy-duty equipment. So I'm never saying equipment is bad. I'm just helping them understand why the things they tried in the past didn't work and why this is totally different. So you can't make it totally different and the same. You know what I mean? It has to be totally different.
I know we're not that far apart, because in Biohackers, there is the primo preem piece of equipment for the kind of training I do, that ARX.
The ARX, yep.
Will make a high-intensity trainer come right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, they don't get it because of the financial commitment to it, but that thing is the Cadillac. You know, it's the gold standard. If you want to train people in all those training principles one time a week and put all the other – it's perfect. It's one time a week that deal, and then and bio movements the rest of the time. I completely see the vision. I really do.
It's awesome. Troy here. This is how I convinced myself to make this make sense to me is just like your curves program is in the back, you're not putting everybody that comes into that curves program. Only a special population goes into that setting. And that's how I see the reboot is, I'm still training people on the machines as you taught me, and they're getting great results. But the people that aren't, I can put them into that subcategory and explain to them how, this works, et cetera, et cetera, run them through the entire 21-day reboot, and then incorporate machines here and there where it fits so that they're still in the facility and it makes sense to them. That's how I put them in as a separate category of people that need something special, something different. That's how it clicked in my mind to make it work for me.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah, and Tasso, you said you would charge $500, $499, right, to do this initial month.
Right.
What do you charge them now for the initial month?
Well, their initial is their consultation of $199, and then their fees for their training, depending on which trainer they take.
So how much would they typically pay?
Be $40 per session.
Okay, so it's $360, right? Because they're paying for the consult and then they're paying for four sessions.
They're paying for both. The consult's almost 3 hours because I do the biofeedback.
Right. But I'm saying so they're paying for that. They're paying for the consult $150. It's not included in their membership, right?
Right. No, it's not.
And then you're adding to it four training sessions, so that's another $60, right?
Four would be $160.
$160. So it's $360. And now you're talking about $499. So it's not that big a jump.
No, it's not. It's delivering the value. I think it's cheap. I think it's very cheap, Phil, to be honest with you. That's why I'm saying,
Yeah, I like what Troy just said. And maybe the way to do it, Tasso, is not to think of it yet as everybody gets offered that. Maybe it is thinking of it as a subset and taking a few people through that and using the offer. Going, you know what, we're starting a new program here for $499. Here's what you're going to get. And just that way you can see. I don't think it will turn them off from anything else that you have in the gym. I think they're going to appreciate the expertise, the attention, the training, and then they'll go forward and do whatever they would have done anyway. So, think about, who are the candidates for this? And, Troy just said it that way. There were certain people who weren't getting results. I took them through it, and that gave him the comfort level. So I think there's something to be said for that. Don't think of it globally as for everybody, but decide what that subset is going to be at first.
Okay.
All right.
We'll
lot to think about.
We'll talk more.
Okay. Anyone else? Thoughts, comments, questions about anything? All right. Tony, keep me posted on Transform. I love that you're doing it. Until we speak again, everybody, be better. Bye-bye.